Okay, page 10, 12 at the bottom, Aser to Aser, bottom line. Until now, the Torah spoke about the kosher animals, not kosher animals, kosher fish, not kosher fish. Now the Torah is moving on to vegetation. Kosher vegetation and non-kosher vegetation. What vegetation you're allowed to eat? Obviously, all things that grow are kosher, but you have to tithe them, and we'll explain what it means.
So the bugs included on that, those vegetation?
He's not talking about bugs here. So bug off.
The animals.
He's not talking about the bugs, so bug off. Aser to aser, tithing you should tithe, and we'll see what the expression, the double expression of aser to aser. Eis kol tvua sarecho, all the grains of your field, hayetzi asada shana shana, that come out yearly. Meaning what the pasuk is saying over the way the Gemara describes it, that you have to tithe the fruits of that year for that year. You can't tithe the fruits from one year for the next year. The fruits that grow that year, and we'll see what the halachic year of tithing is, that has to be given for the fruits of that year. You can't tithe from one, because the Torah says, Hayotze Hasada Shana Shana, that comes year to year. Now, there's a number of different tithings. Okay? There's what's called Maiser Rishain, Maiser Shani, and Maiser Ani. Now, as we learned, or we're going to learn, the seventh year of the sabbatical cycle, it's like Shabbos, the whole year, Shemitah, like this year, in fact, in Israel, Shemitah, you're not allowed to plant any vegetables, you're not allowed to plant any fruits. I mean, the earth has to lay resting. Now, so therefore, there's 6 years that you plant a field, okay? There's something called Maiser Rishain, the first initial tithing, that you give to the Levi. Okay, that's Maiser, that you give 10% to the Levi. That's their basic income for the year, because they don't work, they work in the Beis HaMikdash, and this is their income, which you give 10% to the Levi. Then, no, not today. Oh, and I actually saw they have it today, but today you don't give it to the Levium. In fact, it's interesting. The halacha is you have to give it to the Levi, not to the Kohen, to the Levi. When you give 10% to the Levi, so then the Levi has to take 10% of that and give it to the Kohen. So the way it works, just to give you a simple example, let's say somebody produces 100 bushels of grain. So the first thing you separate is truma. Truma normally would be 2% of the kohen. Okay, you give truma, as it's called. You have 100 bushels, 2% would be 2 bushels. So that's given as truma to the kohen. Now you're left with 98 bushels. From 98 bushels, you give 10% of that, and you give it to the Levi. So it's 9.8 bushels you give to the Levi. The Levi, that's not what the Torah is speaking about here though, the Levi has to take 10% of what he gets and gives it to the Kohen. These guys are very greedy. The Kohen, they get a lot of stuff. Yeah? Mm-hmm. Now.
Are you kidding me?
Okay, stop. So that is done every year of the 6 year cycle. In addition to that, you have to give what's called Maiser Sheni. And that's what the Torah is speaking about here. Maiser Sheni means another 10%. You have to take that produce and eat it in Yerushalayim. You have to take it and eat. It's yours. You don't give it to the Kohen. You don't give it to the Levi. It's yours, but you must eat it in Yerushalayim.
What is it called?
Huh?
What is it called?
Maiser Sheni, the second tithing. That is done the first year and the second year. The fourth year and the fifth year.
That's a lot of boots.
In the third, 1 second. In the third and sixth year, instead of Maiser Sheni that you take to Yerushalayim, it's what's called Maiser Ani. You have to take 10% of what's left in the bushels after Truma and the initial Maiser, and you give it to the poor people. That's the halacha, you give it to the poor people. So in the 6-year cycle, because you have 6 years of planting, every year you give 10% to the Levi. That is done every year. First, second, fourth, and fifth, you have to do what's called Maiser Sheni, you have to take it to Yerushalayim to eat it there. And the third year and the sixth year, instead of Maiser Sheni, you give it to the poor people. Now, by the way, there was an interesting halacha. During the time when they came to rebuild the second temple in the days of Ezra, it's not relevant here, but just for the completion of the law. A lot of Jews, including Levium, refused to go up from Babel. They were in Golus. They were in exile in Babel. They refused to go up with Ezra to build the second Beis Hamikdash. You could believe in the beginning of the second era of the era of the second Beis Hamikdash, the Jews were very bad off. I mean, they were poor. Even the menorah, when they built the second Beis, they made it out of tin, out of copper. They didn't have gold. A lot of Jews didn't go up with Ezra to build this. They were comfortable in Golis. Can you imagine Mashiach comes today? Everybody wants to stay in Beverly Hills when they go to Israel for it. Stay in Beverly Hills, more comfortable. So they wanted to stay in Babel. They stayed in Babel. And because a lot of Levium didn't go up, Ezra, who was the Moshe Rabbeinu in his generation, fined the Levium that they don't get Maaser. So instead of giving the 10% to the Levi, they gave it to the Kohanim. But that was a punishment for the Levites not going up to the Beis Hamikdash together with Ezra when he rebuilt the second Beis Hamikdash. So you have, again, so you have, the first thing you separate is Truma, then what's left, you separate 10%, you give to the Levi, 10% of what's left, you keep for yourself, but you need to eat it in Yerushalayim. Then the Pasuk will soon say, what happens if it's too much to carry? I mean, you have a big field, it's too much to carry. So you redeem it for money. Let's say you left with 20 bushels, let's say, you had a lot. Okay, let's say you left with 20 bushels, and these 20 bushels you have to take to Yerushalayim to eat. But it's too much to schlep. So what you do is you redeem it for money. So now the money becomes Maaser Sheni, and you have to take the money to Yerushalayim, and it can only be spent on food that's eaten in Yerushalayim. Now what's interesting is, Maaser Sheni is not holy. It's not holy. Which means like this. What happens if I took my bushels to Yerushalayim? I'm not going to stay there a whole year, so you leave. Yeah? I could sell it to people that live in Yerushalayim.
That's what. Take the money and go
home. Take the money and go home. Because they eat it. As long as it's eaten in Yerushalayim, I could give it to them, I could sell it to them, whatever. It's not holy. It's not like Truma that only a Kohen could eat. Even Maaser, by the way, that you give 10% to the Levi, it's not holy. If a Levi wants, he can give it to his friend who's not a Levi. Truma is holy. Truma can only be eaten by a Kohen. Even if you give it to the Kohen cannot give it to whoever he wants. It has to be given only to Kohen. But Maaser that you give to the Levi, and Maaser Sheni that you bring to the Shalayim, is not holy. Anybody could eat it. So people that lived in Yerushalayim, by the way, would buy this Maaser Sheni produce for cheap.
Yeah.
Because they knew the guy wanted to go home. He's not going to stay in Yerushalayim.
Too much for them to
make. Yeah, so what else? They would buy it for cheap. It was a good deal. So the guys in Yerushalayim had it pretty good. Now, what Rashi says like this. What Rashi says from the Gemara, from the Medrash, what's the connection between before it said, the last pasuk we learned before this was, Lo sevashel gadi b'chalei v'imei. Okay? Do not cook a goat in its mother's milk. And then it says, tithe your food. So the Mishnah said, it says like this. If you're going to tithe properly, if you're not going to tithe properly, I'm going to destroy the wheat while it's still in the mother, meaning while it's still growing. The connection is just the chalevi, the mother's milk. So that Hashem says, if you're not going to tithe properly, I'm going to bring an eastern wind and it's going to ruin all your crop. So if you give tithing properly, so then it's going to be proper. Now, the Gemara also learns from here, by the way, that you need to give 10%. Okay? Asa to asa means you have to give 10%. This is the source, by the way, why we know by tzedakah, you have to give 10%. What's the source of 10%? Because it says asa to asa, you should give 10%. So today in Eretz Yisrael, the laws of Maaser apply, but outside of Eretz Yisrael doesn't apply. So therefore, but there's a din of tzedakah. Now, what's the double expression, aser to aser? So again, the Gemara learns that aser, you should give 10%. To aser also comes in the word ta'ashir, you'll get rich. If you give 10%, Hashem says, ta'asher, you will get rich. And in fact, the pasuk says, there's a whole pasuk that they quote, Bavarikaisi lochem brocha ad b'lidai, and it says, I forgot the whole pasuk, I think they bring down the pasuk here. Then it says, Bavarikaisi lochem brocha ad b'lidai, when you... in the pasuk, okay. But there's a pasuk that says you'll bring the grain to Beis Elokeinu, to God's house, and then varikesi lochem brocha ad blidai, I will give you a blessing unlimited. And the Gemara says, there's a pasuk, b'chanuni no, God says, test me. Normally a Jew is not allowed to test God, to say, you know, if I do this, you do, if you do this, I'll do this. Make deals with God. The only time you're allowed to make a deal with God, it says, is in the laws of tzedakah. Like the Gemara says, if a guy is somebody sick in the house and they give money on the condition that this person gets wet better, that's okay. With tzedakah, God says, you're allowed to test me, and I don't have a problem with you testing me, with this thing. And he says, if you give maaser properly, then you're going to get a lot of money and you're going to become very wealthy. Now, it says, what goodness did God do to the Jewish people? Normally, when you give a field to a sharecropper, they have them today, it was called artists. A sharecropper is, I own a field, but I don't want to deal with it. I give it to you, you work the field, and you take care of it, and with either a half, a third, whatever, you keep the produce of the field. But you give them a half, a third, shlish, or if it says a third, a half, a fourth, that's normal the way it works.
Managers.
Yeah, but the manager never gets 90%. Forget 30%, 40%, 50% max. Gemara says max is 50%. Here Hashem owns the world. All the land, Kili Ha'aretz, the God says, it's my land. I'm giving you the field. But instead of giving you only 40%, you're going to get 90%. So look how kind God is to the Jewish people. It's his field. He's saying to work, you work in the field, I make you a deal. You give me 10%, and the rest you keep. So it says in the Gemara that look how God Hashem is, and because of that, he does it. And he says, how does, they asked Rabbi Shmuel ben Rabbi Yosi, how can a Jew get rich? He said, when they tithe, the mice, and they do all that, so then, become very, very wealthy. And this is where the person is allowed to test Hashem. Here's the pasuk. B'chanuni no b'zeis, Hashem says, test me with this. Im lo eftach lochem arubis ha-shamayim, that I shouldn't open up for you the windows of the heaven for rain to come down. And I will give you a blessing unlimited.
Where is that written?
Where is the pasuk? In Malachi.
Malachi?
Yeah. In Malachi. It says, it's not, it's a song. Varikesi lachem brocha ad b'lidai. It's from that pasuk in Malachi. And that's what it says like this. By Avram, by Yaakov Avinu, Yaakov Avinu made a deal with Hashem. This is what it sounds like in the simple meaning. If God will, by his dream, you know, by his dream, he said, if God will be with me and return me to my father's other, then he said, V'chol asher titen li, aser asrenu lach, I'll tithe it to you. So we see Yaakov Avinu made a condition with God. If you do all these things to me, then I'll give you 10% of all the grain. So this again is what the importance of giving tzedakah is. Okay? Now, the same thing we find in the laws of tzedakah, based on this pasuk, aser to aser, that you have to give 10%. In other places it says you should give chomesh, 20%. And then the Gemara says you should never give more than 20% to tzedakah. Why? Because if you give more than 20%, you're going to end up begging and they're going to need money and it's no good. But in Tanya, the Alter Rebbe says a very interesting thing. It is also mentioned in Halacha, by the way. And that is that is only when you're dealing with the mitzvah of tzedakah by itself. But there's a pasuk in Daniel that says, V'chato'echa b'tzedakah perok. You should redeem your sins, Daniel writes, with tzedakah. It says, what is tzedakah? Tzedakah gets not forgiveness for the sin. Tshuva gets forgiveness for the sin. But tzedakah creates a very strong relationship with God. So it says like this. When does the Gemara say that you shouldn't give more than 20% tzedakah? That's only if you don't sin. In the midst of tzedakah, the Gemara says, Halacha says you shouldn't give more than 20%. But if you sin, there's a pasuk that says, Kol asher lo ish yitein ba'ad nafsho. Can you imagine a guy is dying, he says, okay, you can only spend up to 10% of my money to cure me. After that, forget it, don't spend that money. I mean, the pasuk says, Kol asher lo ish, everything a person has, yitein ba'ad nafsho, he's going to save his life, he's going to give everything. So if tzedakah redeems for sins, and you sin, so then 20% doesn't apply anymore. Then whatever you have to give for it depends how much you sin. You know, if you sin a lot, you're going to pay a lot. If you sin a little, you pay a little. But then the mitzvah of tzedakah of 20% doesn't actually apply.
So then what does? How do you put a number on it?
If a guy doesn't sin at all.
No, but what if he does?
Let me explain first what tzedakah does when it comes to tshuva. You know, they tell a story, a rich miser that never gave any tzedakah came up to heaven after 120 years. And he was judged by the heavenly court. They say, baby, you're going to hell. You're going to Gehenna. He says, oh no, 1 minute, I'll give you a check. I'll buy my way into Gan Eden. So the heavenly court said, in this world, we don't take checks. We only look at the receipts. Based on how much tzedakah you gave in this world, that's what we look at in this world. You can't buy your way. In other words, can you imagine if tzedakah would forgive the sin, so a very wealthy person could say, I'll live it up and I'll pay for it. You know the expression? There's no such thing as no parking space. Some are just very expensive. You could park on a red line. It's a parking space, it just costs you a lot of money when you get a ticket. But it's a parking place. You can park in the middle of the street also. You might get towed, you might have to, but there is no such thing as no parking space. It's expensive parking space. You know, certain sins you do, it's very expensive to buy. But that's not what really tzedakah is. Let me explain what tzedakah does, that it should be a clarification. God forbid when somebody sins, they need to do tshuva. In addition to tshuva, in the time of the Beis HaMikdash, they had to bring a sin offering. Either Chatas or Ashram, the various sin offerings that we learned about a long time ago. That was not for forgiveness. In other words, if somebody sinned, they had to do tshuva. They had to repent. Why did the Torah say to bring a sin offering afterwards? Like, what's the purpose? You already did tshuva. And if you don't do tshuva, the sin offering is not going to help. So the analogy that the Gemara gives, and after that brings us down and gets the tshuva, the analogy the Gemara gives is very simple. If two friends get into a fight. Get into a fight. And then they ask forgiveness. And they forgive each other. Or the one you harmed forgives you. Nevertheless, the relationship is not what it used to be. It's still not what it used to be. Yeah, you forgave him. He's not going to mention it again, even though everybody does. You know, but the bottom line is, it's not the same relationship. So the Gemara says in Zvachim, how do you recreate a relationship? You send a gift. The gift is not the forgiveness. The gift is to recreate the relationship like it was before you sinned. So therefore Hashem says, you sin, you repent, you do tshuva. Now you want to create the relationship, bring a sacrifice. It's a gift to God. Now that we don't have a Beis HaMikdash, so the Gemara says, fasting is in the place of a korban. Instead of sacrificing, people would fast. What's the connection fasting to a korban? Because when you brought a sacrifice, you burnt the fats and the blood of the animal on the altar. So when a person fasts, it lessens the food intake. So there's less blood, less fats. So it's like, fasting is like bringing a korban to Hashem. Then the Gemara says, and Alter Rebbe brings this down also, that only applied in the days when people were very, very healthy. And fasting didn't hurt them at all. But in our generation, as we know, when a person fasts, any fast, they become dysfunctional for 3 weeks afterwards. Well, we're not the same strength that people used to be. So then the din is that you give tzedakah instead of fasting. So, in other words, in the damage of the Beis HaMikdash, it was sacrifices. After the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash was fasting. Nowadays, the Gemara says whoever fasts is called a sinner because they become dysfunctional, they don't function properly, the Gemara says. And therefore, today, tzedakah is instead of the korban, or instead of fasting. And that's one second. That's what Daniel says. V'chato'echa b'tzedakah p'raik. It doesn't mean that giving money forgives you for the sin. You have to do tshuva. You can't just pay for the sin and keep sinning because you're going to pay for it. You need to do tshuva. And then after you do tshuva, what does tzedakah do? It recreates the relationship with Hashem that you had before you sinned. Why? Because why should tzedakah? So number one, it's blood and tears that you work to get the money. And even if not, you inherited, you won the lottery, you didn't do anything for your entire life, but you could have bought food, you could have bought things for your body, and you don't. So that itself is a giving a part of yourself to God. But in a deeper sense, and this is what the whole concept of tzedakah and the tithing and all that, a person needs to realize it's not our money. It's not my field. It's not my house. It's God's house. It's God's money. I am God's estate manager. God says, you know what? I have this property. Whatever the address of your house is. God says, I own this property. You know what? I want you to manage it. I have X amount of money. God has a lot of different accounts. 7 billion accounts. Plus, Hashem says to a Jew especially, I have this money, I'm giving it to you, you will manage the estate for me. So when the Jew realizes, it's not my money, it's God's money. I'm only in charge, I'm managing God's estate, and God wants me to do good things with the money. So therefore, as it's brought down all over the place, the money that we give to tzedakah, that's really my money. That is stays with me forever. The money I give away to tzedakah, that stays with me. Everything else comes and goes. It is, it isn't. In fact, this explains.
So you have to
the Gemara says, one second. The Gemara said, one second. The Gemara says, Rebbe mechabed ashirim. Rebbe would honor rich people. Rebbe honored rich people. So it says, why did Rabbi himself is very rich. But why did Rabbi honor, what do you think, the better people? Because they have money. You know, what's the thing? So he said like this. If God entrusted this person with a bigger estate, that means God trusts him somehow. Problem is, they mess it up always. But God trusts the person that he is going to be a better manager of a larger portfolio that God allows the person to manage. So Rabbi said, you know what? The fact that this person, Hashem, gave a big estate, a bigger portfolio to manage, shows there must have a certain uniqueness, the specialty to the person. Okay, what did you want?
I want to say that so you have to sacrifice yourself and you have to sweat and you have to work so, so hard, and you know this is not yours and this is Hashem's. So, is that what you have to do?
No. When we manage the estate properly, then it's our money.
What do you mean?
If I give you a portfolio to manage,
yeah.
If you manage the money correctly, then you're doing a good job. If you do a lousy job, then you're not. When a person manages God's money, meaning they use the money for good things, they use the money for constructive things. You know, tzedakah, living like a Jew. I mean, to live properly like a Jew. So then God says, you fulfilled the mission. It's your money. And it's a tremendous mitzvah, giving tzedakah. But why is tzedakah forgiveness for the sin? Not forgiveness, the gift afterwards. Because when God sees that you're giving away money that you worked hard for, so to speak, and you're still giving it away because somebody else means more than I mean. Yeah? So then what happens is, then God says, you know what, you just recreated, like this, you went against me by you showing that somebody else comes before you. So then you're showing you're recreating the relationship with Hashem. And therefore it says, Lasis, it says, Mishpat utzdaka beYaakov atosisa. Mishpat, judgment, and tzedakah. In other words, it says in Svarim, a person ideally needs to make a judgment. How much money do I really deserve? And all the rest goes to tzedakah. There was a story told. There was a father that had an only son that was very, very, very close to him. And when this father died, he also had a caretaker in the house, a servant. And he says, in the will of the father, listen to this, in the will of the father, there's an only child, and the father had a lot of money. He wrote in the will like this, to the caretaker, he should give the son what he wants, and keep the rest for himself. This is what he wrote in the will. The caretaker should give the son what he wants and keep the rest for himself. The son gets the letter. The caretaker was greedy, so he was going to give the kid a few bucks, whatever. And the kid who couldn't, his father was very close to him, he loved him, he was an only child. He couldn't understand what the father did. So he went to the Rav, over the city to say what's... And the father looks at the will, and he's looking at it, he's studying.
The rabbi,
he looked at the will, and finally he smiles, and he says to the kid, your father was brilliant. He says, what are you talking about? It says in the will, you should give my son what you want, and take the rest for yourself. In other words, what you want to take, that's what you give him. Give my son what you want. Listen to the way he worded it. Give my son what you want. In other words, what you want to take for yourself, that's what you should give him. And the rest keep for yourself.
What you want,
what you want, give to my son. What?
Oh my gosh.
They agreed, whatever.
He said it was a servant, no?
Yeah, so the son said, the rabbi told the son, well,
No, that's a different story. That's a whole different story. No. This is a story with the father word, and he said, why did the father word it like that? Obviously he understood. He said, because he didn't want the kid to say, oh, I just got a lot of money, he's gonna be greedy. He humbled him right away at the beginning, he humbled him, and then when he got the money, he accepted it with humility. With bittul. But he says, so this is the concept of asid to asid, that you should, give the tzedakah that a person should be able to have properly. Okay.
So if the person is needy and doesn't have money to pay for tzedakah, still the fast is the secondary? Or?
No, today we don't fast. I know Sfardim are into fasting.
Times a week?
Yeah, ten times. I think she fasts 10 days a week. According to Hasidic halacha, so to speak, is definitely forbidden to fast. Definitely forbidden to fast. Because it's better to give. In fact, it says in Svarim, the merit, even though we're much lower, spiritually than the earlier generations, but the merit that this generation has, no generation ever gave tzedakah like the recent generation. They didn't have. I'm saying the concept of giving tzedakah is the merit, and therefore the Rambam says, the Medrash, the Rambam is it down, that b'schus tzedakah, and the merit of tzedakah, you get Mashiach. God g'day le tzedakah, the Gemara says, shemekareves es ha-ge'ula. Tzedakah is great, it brings the ge'ula, it brings the redemption closer. Why? Because again, giving tzedakah shows that the person realizes it's not my money. It's God's money, and therefore I need to handle it properly. Okay, this is the first pas. Aser to aser, eis kotva saracha yetzah sada shana v'shana, and that's the mitzvah of giving, okay. Then the pasuk says like this, v'achal t'lefnei Hashem akar, but again, this pasuk is speaking, like we said before, not the 10% that you give to the Levi, because that was already discussed earlier in Chumash. This portion of Chumash is discussing what's called Maaser Sheni, that you take the 10% in the first, second, fourth, and fifth year, and you bring it to Yerushalayim. So it says, "Be'achalta l'vnei Hashem alakecho." You can eat this grain in the presence of Hashem, okay? "Ba'mokem ha'sheyivcha," in the place God chose l'shakin shmei Shem, to rest His name there. What do you have to give? Maser degoncha tireishcha v'yitzarecha, the tithe of your grain. The tireishcha is your wine, v'yitzarecha, and your oil. Uvecheres bekarcha v'tzeinecha, and the firstborn of your cattle and sheep. L'mantilmed, that you should, in order that you should learn, l'yira es Hashem alokecha, to fear God. Kol ha'yamim, all the days. So the question, what does this have to do with learning how to fear Hashem? So the Mefarshim say very simply, the Chinuch writes, when you had to take this grain to Yerushalayim to eat, yeah? Who was in Yerushalayim? The Koyanim, the Leviim, the big rabbinic Bezdin of 71, the big Bezdin was in Yerushalayim. So there are a lot of great, smart, holy people in Yerushalayim. And like we said, Yerushalayim itself means Yira Shalem, complete level of fear. So the Torah says, by taking you to Yerushalayim, that you should learn to fear as Hashem Alekecha Kol HaYomim, okay, all the days that you should fear Hashem. And then it says like this, V'chigir b'mimcha aderech. What happens if the road is too far, meaning, or like he says, Ki loisuchal se'esei, it's too much to carry. You have a lot of ma'aser, a lot of this ma'aser sheni. You have too much, and it's very far. They didn't have buses, trains, and planes in those days. Why is it too much? Because God blessed you. God blessed you with an abundance, and therefore it's too much to take to Yerushalayim, so you can't carry it. So what are you going to do? In other words, like this. Number one, it might be too long, or it might be too heavy to carry, or the distance, it's impractical to transport it. Okay? Now he says like this, the Gemara learns though, halachically, this is only examples that the Torah is giving. Halachically, it says, even if you one step out of Yerushalayim, if you want, you could redeem it. In other words, redeeming, like we just mentioned before, if it's too much, you redeem the bushels for money, and then the bushels become regular stuff, you can eat it anywhere. You have to take the money to Yerushalayim and spend the money in Yerushalayim, right? As we explained before. So it says, you could do it regardless. You could do it regardless, you could take them, redeem it, take the money and go to Yerushalayim. Now, there's an interesting lesson over here that this teaches us. It's like this. There's what God makes holy, and there's what we make holy. Even though it's understood that what God makes holy is holier than what we make holy, but there's a pasuk that says, "Lemaisa yodecho tichsev." God wants our work. God wants what we do. If you think about it, Maisa Sheni basically is that grain, that 10% that God gave you is holy. You're not making it holy necessarily, you're just separating it, but it's holy. When you redeem this Maisa, the bushels, for money, and then you bring the money to Yerushalayim, you made the money holy. It's not God producing the produce that was holy, you just separated that holy part by separating 10%. Here, it's a uniqueness that the Jew, by transferring the Maisa Sheni to the money, and then bringing the money to Yerushalayim, the Jew made it holy. The whole concept of creation, like we learned many times, is that we make the world holy. For God to make the world holy is no big deal. It's holy. Right? God from God's name, and second, it's holy. It's very good, but that's not what he wants. God wants, we should make the world holy. So even though we're not going to make it as holy as God could do, basically, but because Hashem wants that we should make it holy, when we make it holy, it's more important to Hashem than if he did it. In other words, you have this analogy in a million different times. You could teach somebody a piece of Gemara, and the kid will know it very well. Or if the kid is going to learn it on their own, and break their head and work on it, to understand it, and they might not even understand it as well as the teacher is going to teach it to the kid. They'll understand it better when the teacher teaches it to the kid, rather than when the kid learns it himself. But you can't compare the two. This is the kid's accomplishment, and this is the teacher's accomplishment. What's more precious? There's no question that granted the teacher's teaching might be better and a higher level of understanding, but you can't compare it to the level of what the child does when they reach that level on their own. And that's the whole concept of creation and Torah and mitzvahs, what God wants us, like he says over here by Maisa Sheni. The lesson of Maisa Sheni is, and redeeming of Maisa Sheni, is that God says, you have the opportunity and the ability to take something physical and make that physical thing holy, and even though you're not going to make it as holy as I can make it, but you know what? It's much better. It's worth much more to God than if you do it by yourself. Than if he doesn't. But if you have your kid bake a cake, yeah, it might not be as nice as the bakery cake, but it's appreciated much, much, much more because the kid did it. The child did it. It's their accomplishment. It's no big deal for God to bake a cake. Make a cake is very easy. Hashem says, I want you to make the cake. I want you to make the world holy. So when a Jew redeems the produce for money, and takes the money to Yerushalayim and spends it in holiness, it's a much greater accomplishment. And therefore he quotes the Rambam that says, we treat the fruits bought with the money exchanged more stringently than the Maaser itself. The Maaser itself, the Rambam writes in Halacha of Maaser Sheni, you have to be more strict about the money that they bring to Yerushalayim than the other one. And for instance, he said, what's this thing? Rambam writes, he says like, the Rambam says like this. Guy exchanges it for money, right? Now he takes the money to Yerushalayim. What happens if with the money he bought food before he got to Yerushalayim? With the mice and money that he exchanged for the grain, he actually bought grain outside of Yerushalayim. The Rambam holds, you cannot exchange that for money again. Because once you exchange it for money, even though the original tithing you could exchange for money, but once you exchanged it, and you took the money, and you bought grain with it, then you cannot exchange it for money again. Because it's stricter. That's what Rambam writes in the Halacha. So question, why is Rambam writing that? Because Rambam is teaching us, what you made holy is holier than what God makes holier. What God makes holy. And therefore, the grain that God made holy, that you can exchange for money. But once you exchanged it for money, and now you're buying the grain, that you can never exchange again for money. That has to, you have to take the fruits themselves to Yerushalayim, and you're not allowed to change it. Why? Because God enjoys better what we do than what He does Himself. Okay, let me continue the Mitzvah Shem.